There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to Premier League All Access with me, Sam Massaface. I'm joined by TalkSport's chief football correspondent, Alex Crook, and former Liverpool striker, Neil Mellor, as we review the week's Premier League action. Here's what to look out for.
I think City's running. I think they'll win every game. I think the issue I would have with Liverpool and making a prediction they'll win the title is they're having to work very hard to win matches.
Do you know what? It could have been 4 or 5 at halftime, and that's why I'm sat here disappointed, frustrated. It could be a vital point, but it does feel like 2 drop.
When he's not scoring goals, he can look like a bit of a donkey. I don't think technically he's the greatest player in the world. I don't think he does enough for that Manchester City team.
Would you like to comment on that as a striker who's played in the Premier League?
What's his job?
Score goals.
To score goals. I'd love them to stay up because of the football journey that those fans have been on. It gives hope for teams in League 2, League 1. That Absolutely. Might be us. We might be that team. We've been mismanaged in the past, the way Luton have been, nearly gone out of business. Then the conference in the fifth tier of English football, and all of a sudden they've worked hard. Those fans have had some painful times, but now seeing the good times, and they're in the Premier League.
Welcome, lads. Welcome to Hotel Football. Just hot-footed it over from Old Trafford, where Manchester United have held Liverpool to a 2-2 draw. What was the gauntlet like for you walking over here? You're okay.
Just still in shock, disappointed, deflated. One of us is happy and it's not me.
Yeah, I know it is. In fact, he sent me a message straight after the game and said, mission accomplished.
Indeed. Disappointing not to win the game, having led until quite late on. But if they weren't going to win it, let's stop Liverpool getting the 3 points they need to edge closer to that title.
Okay, well, let's analyse it in detail then, because we are in Manchester. We're at Hotel Football and we've just witnessed another brilliant Premier League game on a Sunday afternoon. Manchester United 2, Liverpool 2. This is how it sounded.
And what a story this is. Manchester United 2, Liverpool 1. Take a bow, Kobbie Mainoo, the Academy graduate, has just curled one into the top corner. Here comes Salah into the bottom corner. And now that huge goal for Liverpool in their pursuit of the Premier League title. It's Manchester United 2, Liverpool 2.
I would have loved to win today, but I take the point. Let me keep going.
Much frustration. And it's more the frustration after this week when you got yourself 3 times in winning position and then 3 times you give it away. And we should have had 9 points after this week, but we have only 2.
Well, Manchester United didn't have a shot of any nature in the first half. That was the first time that's happened at Old Trafford since 2015. But when they did have a shot, I mean, they were absolutely worldy shots, weren't they?
Two incredible goals. And I guess in some ways that is emblematic of United's season, because they're a team who play in moments. They've got players who are capable of coming up with extraordinary moments, as Bruno Fernandes certainly did for the first goal. And young Kobbie Mainoo, you know I'm a fully paid up member of the fan club. I think his strike was equally terrific in different ways. But they're also a team who make mistakes. And you have to say the challenge from Aaron Wan-Bissaka was the tackle of a tired defender. And ultimately that's gifted Liverpool a point.
But you're probably thinking to yourself, when you look at the XG, I mean, 0.79 Manchester United, 3.54 Liverpool. This is 2 points dropped.
2 points dropped, absolutely. I mean, Manchester United scored the goals with a gift of a goal and an absolute worldie. And the game should have been put to bed at half-time. I remember talking to people at half-time thinking, how are Manchester United still in this game? We should have been scored three, maybe four goals. It was all too easy that first half. Manchester United showed in that first half why they are 22 points behind Liverpool, nowhere near Liverpool's levels. And when they equalised, we're thinking, not again. This is why we love football. A team that we're nowhere near. The crowd then got ignited, got involved in the game. And then when they go 2-1 up, you're thinking, we can't lose this game. We cannot lose this game. It may prove to be a good point, but at this moment in time, it feels like it's 2 points dropped.
Talk me through the fact that you had 28 shots on goal, yeah, 9 on target. Talk me through the fact that those key strikers, Nunez, Diaz and Salah, have all missed opportunities. You're a striker. You know what it's like to put the ball in the net. You know what it's like to feel that pressure in that moment. Just as the ball comes to you, you've got a golden chance. How on earth has Mo Salah not scored at 2-1? Has Nunez missed 4 golden chances and Diaz hit the goalkeeper with 3 of the efforts that he's had? Is that pressure?
No.
Lack of technique?
No,
what is
no,
it?
No. I think what you would say is they'll be disappointed not to have scored because definitely wasted some good chances. But also take comfort from thinking, I'm getting in some good positions. If I keep getting in these good positions, I know eventually I'll score. Now, today it wasn't the case, and it goes down as missed opportunities, wasted opportunities. I have to say, I thought Onana's save in the first 3 minutes against Szoboszlai was a brilliant save. That was an unbelievable save.
He's had a lot of practice. They've conceded about 250 shots since the beginning of
But
January.
I don't think we tested him enough today. Apart from that save, how many times were you go, cool, that was a good save? So I don't think we tested him enough.
We couldn't hit the target with most of the chances that came their way.
We missed a couple of chances.
In terms of the title race, what does it mean?
I think it hands advantage to the other two. I think Arsenal, because...
Advantage to City?
Yeah, because I think...
One point behind us.
But I think City's running. I think they'll win every game. I think the issue I would have with Liverpool and making a prediction they'll win the title is they're having to work very hard to win matches. Even against Sheffield United in midweek, it wasn't straightforward. Arsenal aren't having to work very hard to win matches.
In the last couple of matches, but they worked yesterday, they cruised it. But in truth, over the course of the season so far, everyone's had to work hard because that's the way that the Premier League season has gone. I think we're a little bit in danger of this recency bias thing. Every time a result changes the nature of the top three, we all sort of panic and go, oh, they're the favourites now, they're the favourites now. And the bookmakers certainly do that as well.
Well, it is changing.
Well, it is changing. That's the point. If it's changing week in and week out now, it's going to change week in and week out between now and the end of the season. There's still a long way to go, right?
Long way to go. 7 games to go, and you're looking at all the fixtures thinking they could slip up there. The biggest factor for me is Europe. How do Arsenal cope with Europe? How do Manchester City cope with Europe? They've got tough games. City against Real Madrid, 2 games. Arsenal against Bayern Munich. How are they going to cope with rotating their squad to be at it? If Arsenal play their strongest 11 in the Premier League, I'm thinking they could win all the games between now and the end of the season. I really do think that.
You say there's going to be a lot of slips between now and the end of the season. The statistics don't back that up. In the calendar year, this is only the second time that one of the top three in the table have dropped points.
Well, no, Manchester City have drawn with Arsenal and Liverpool in this calendar year, so that can't be true.
What I would say is...
That I saw.
Sam, what I would say...
We just make it up as we go along.
It's good to know that we're ahead of City rather than City ahead of us on goal difference. So I know Arsenal are top, and people will say they're the favourites, but in previous years, we've been chasing City, and like you said, you think City will win all their games between now and the end of the season. Well, if they do, and Liverpool do, we still finish above them by 1 point.
I think that Arsenal have got the toughest fixtures out of everybody, and I think that was sort of evident from early on that they're going to have to do more in terms of working hard to get their results. I think Liverpool have got some tough games upcoming as well because they've got to play Spurs.
Our toughest week is we play Fulham away on the Sunday, then we play Everton away midweek.
You're worried about Fulham? This is a Martin Keown.
Hang on, Sam. Listen. And the third game is West Ham away on the Saturday lunchtime. That's 3 games away in 6 days. Now, I'm saying they're 3 tough away games to have to be at it to get 3 points in all 3 of those games.
How are you concerned about that? You beat Chelsea in a cup final with all the 15-year-olds. You can rotate your team.
Yeah, but I'm saying 3 games of certainly Everton.
That's a big game.
Like Manchester United, they'll be desperate. They'll be buzzing with the draw. Man. Like United fans today, celebrating a draw. Manchester United fans.
There's a little jab there.
Man United fans celebrating a draw
today. He's not
wrong,
though, is he?
No, he's not wrong. Is there a mental block, by the way, for Liverpool when it comes to playing United? Because they lost here last season, Erik ten Hag's first win. They were dumped out the FA Cup. United got a point at Anfield as well. Is it becoming an issue, this fixture?
I don't. You can look at it two ways, can't you? Because two of the three previous visits here in the Premier League, Liverpool won 4-2 and 5-0. Mm. So they weren't too...
Was it a mental block last year when they beat you 7-0?
That wasn't under ten Hag here, was it?
That was under Ten Hag, though, wasn't it?
Anfield, though, wasn't it?
That was when we took our chances. We made sure we put them in the back of the net. And it could have been, do you know what? It could have been 4 or 5 at halftime. And that's why I'm sat here disappointed, frustrated. It could be a vital point, but it does feel like 2 drops at the moment.
What did you make of Rashford today? It was a little bit quiet. It was replaced by Antony. Antony maybe would be a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that he didn't start the game, bearing in mind his performance in midweek.
Yeah, I think Antony should have started. I think Rashford showed a little bit more endeavour, a little bit more tactical awareness. I think he kept hold of the ball quite well at times. What frustrated me when it came to the second half and that in-game management, I didn't understand the substitution. 2-1 up, take off Garnacho, bring on Amrabat, who's miles off the pace when it comes to Premier League.
Happy with the point, that's what it says to
me. Yeah, but it felt like it was inviting Liverpool pressure because there was no outlet then. Yeah.
So the first thing a geezer said to me when we walked into Hotel Football was, why has he brought on Amrabat? Yeah. At that stage of the game, it's surrendering the advantage to Liverpool, and it did. I'm not saying that if they'd kept Garnacho on, they would have won the game. But why do you need to take Garnacho off? The kid's—he's 19 years of age. He's not like he's running out of steam.
And would have been probably a bigger threat on the counter when Liverpool are putting all the players forward to try and get the winning goal. And we saw late on, didn't we? Was it Antony who had that last moment?
Yeah, it was a massive chance.
No, I was so glad that didn't go in. I was thinking FA Cup vibes again.
You wouldn't be here if it had gone in.
No, he would have ditched us. That was definitely
taxi
true.
Taxi for Miller.
What about Campbell? Impressive?
I thought he did well.
Harshly booked. What about that challenge?
That's a ridiculous yellow
card.
We both
sat there at the time when that challenge went in and thought, what a brilliant challenge that is. And then the yellow card came out.
It could have been, if he didn't get the ball, it was worse.
If he didn't get the ball, that would have been different, but he did.
What about Casemiro? Did Was that a yellow card or was that a red?
The free kick right at the end of the game.
Yeah.
That looks a little bit normal.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get a red card out because actually Anthony Taylor went to his other pocket first and then gave himself a bit of time, took a step back and then went to the other pocket and brought out the yellow card.
Yeah.
But in answer to your question, big game, only a second Premier League start to come in against this calibre opposition in this game that is so emotionally charged. I think he did well. Mm. And actually that was the 26th different back four that United have had to use this season. So if Ten Hag is going to have to sing for his supper with his new paymaster, I think he can genuinely point to injuries defensively as a big issue.
There's a lot of teams that can point to that over the course of the season, but you're definitely right as far as Manchester United's backline is concerned. Let's focus on one of the younger members of the Liverpool backline, Jarrell Kwanzaa, who gave away the ball for Bruno Fernandes' wonder strike, which is from just inside the centre circle. But I thought overall he actually played quite well. And I think he's a terrific defender. There was one moment where Marcus Rashford went down the left-hand side and he got past Connor Bradley and into the area. And Kwanzaa just slowed himself down, thought about it very carefully, shepherded him away from goal and made sure that the attack petered out.
12 months ago, he was playing in League One with Bristol Rovers. Mm. He started pre-season. He was involved and he impressed. Questions were asked, would he maybe go out alone again? He's had a little bit of luck in terms of Joel Matip being out injured, so he's had a game time. He was trusted to play against Manchester City, which was a big call. And then again today, and for me, young players are going to make mistakes. And that was a mistake, an uncharacteristic mistake. He's obviously trying to play the ball back to Van Dijk, not seeing Bruno Fernandes, intercepted goal, mistake happens. The response, I thought the response was incredible. A daunting atmosphere. The fans were up, weren't they? Manchester United baying that they could win the game. But he responded really well and he didn't let that affect his performance. So we knew Liverpool would push further forward and he'd be exposed to the counter-attack. And I thought he handled that really well. So reaction was outstanding. Yes, it was an error and defense. We see defenders, goalkeepers make mistakes all the time, the way that they like to play out from the back. But his reaction was superb.
Let me ask you another question about a Manchester United forward, Rasmus Højlund. Because he had a purple patch just after Christmas, got injured and hasn't scored goals. It didn't look as sharp to me today or as confident as he did do before the injury.
For me, I think one of the biggest challenges he's found is he's had to be the main man. Who else scores goals for Manchester United? Mm. No, nobody's in double figures in the Premier League this season. So he's not had the time to really settle in at a huge football club like Manchester United. We need you to start scoring goals now. Whereas Darwin Nunez had time to settle because Salah's the main man. Salah's the main man who will score goals. So the pressure wasn't there for the likes of Darwin Nunez. He's had the pressure, young Højlund. I think he's a really exciting young talent who will score goals. but nobody's helped him share the workload and the goal load. And that, for me, has probably affected his performances and the team.
Have they got the money to change that in the summer?
I think they're going to have to be creative. I mean, there was a suggestion to me a few weeks ago that maybe they're not giving up hope on luring Harry Kane back to the Premier League. But I think financially that would be a very difficult deal to do. We know that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is going to try and bring in young players and develop as they go, as opposed to buying in superstars. So I think he's going to have to really be the main focal point of the attack for the foreseeable future. I think it's about service as well, because the issue you've got with United's wide players is they all like cutting inside, and quite often they'll get a shot away rather than trying to feed him. So actually, how many opportunities does he actually get in a game? And when you're not getting chances, that's going to eat away at your confidence.
He got no chances today, did he? No. I mean, listen, they had very few chances, Manchester United, really, as in clear-cut chances. A lot of times they got to the edge of the penalty area and the final ball selection was poor.
Yeah, and also maybe we should say Rashford as well hasn't had the season he had last season.
No.
I thought he was absolutely terrific last season.
Well, that's a bit of an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but if he's at it, that helps Hoyland.
Absolutely.
But he's not being at it, and then you're looking around, well, who's getting the goals? I mean, what was it 7 goals in the Premier League? Your top scorer, right? McTominay, was it Fernandes and Hoyland? Yeah. 7 goals, Rashford. 7 goals for Manchester United, and we're in April. For me, people talk about United giving away chances, and they give away too many chances. They don't score enough goals.
No, they're the lowest scorers in the top half of the table, and that's a problem.
That's a big.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Good problem for me for United.
It's incredible they're as high in the table as they are when you look at those statistics.
Yeah, they might not be by the end of the season, though. Are you worried that you may well have to wear a Chelsea shirt between now and the end of the season?
I'm not particularly concerned.
No, I know you're not, because you quite like them. You used to travel on the team plane, didn't you, many years ago?
A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah,
trying to spend the transfer budget in the hotel bar as well.
There's a shop. It was a different transfer budget then, that's for sure. Although you'd have a go at this one. Elsewhere in the title race, there was no let up from the chasing pack. Arsenal and Manchester City, who featured on TalkSport.
And that's headed in superbly by Ollie Watkins. 3-3. What a game!
You certainly can't shrug off Manchester City easily. Pep Guardiola's team have to keep winning, and Manchester City can keep winning. They go level on points for now with Liverpool after beating Palace away from home by 4-2.
This could be huge, and it's an absolute disaster for Burnley. Everton 1, Burnley 0.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin's going in to put the pressure on. He just kind of puts his foot out, comes off, knows nothing about it. Over Munich's head in the back of the net.
It's Fulham 0, Newcastle 1. They've just been denied by VAR, but this one surely will count from Bruno Guimaraes.
Luton 2, Bournemouth 1, and cometh the hour, cometh the man. It's the standing Luton captain, Carlton Morris.
Comeback complete, Wolves 1, West Ham United 2. James Ward-Prowse with his 6th Premier League goal of the season, and it's come direct from a corner.
It's finished Brighton 0, Arsenal 3. Fairly emphatic and comfortable in the end. for Mikel Arteta's men, who go back to the top of the Premier League table.
The Premier League is the best league in the world, in top flight level, without any shadow of a doubt.
Crystal Palace 2, Manchester City 4, and Crystal Palace stunned City early on thanks to a Mateta goal in the early stages of the game. But the champions showed their class in coming back to win 4-2. When I say the champions showed their class, Kevin De Bruyne showed his class. I mean, if you're, as a Liverpool fan, as someone who's following the title race from a Liverpool's perspective, I mean, the fact that he's come back and with such great form, with any hint of rustiness not apparent, must be a bit fearful.
Yeah, we saw that Palace had scored early, 1-0, I think, if long way to go. 1-1 at half-time, and we're still thinking, long way to go. And what did they go, 4-1 at one stage before Palace scored. City have missed De Bruyne because he is their world-class player, and I think that's affected Haaland. Maybe his goal return isn't as good this season because Haaland has missed a lot of games. The fact that they can have Foden, who is one of the most informed players in the Premier League, as an unused sub in a title race game against Crystal Palace shows you the levels that Manchester City at. Kevin De Bruyne has been unbelievable for Manchester City. He really has. And his first goal was special. A top goal, top corner.
Yeah, not a vintage season for Manchester City as a whole. They concede far too many goals. It was the 13th time in the Premier League alone that they've gone behind this season. And that would be a little bit concerning if you were Pep Guardiola, although he did balk at it when I asked him about it in the tunnel, and he said, well, Liverpool and Arsenal go behind and they come back and score late goals, so we score enough goals to win, who cares? I understand that. He's reached the 100 club, Kevin De Bruyne, as a result of that. But Erling Haaland on the score sheet as well. Now, you've occasionally been critical of Erling Haaland. What was your assessment of his performance yesterday?
Listen, myself and Roy Keane are not on different pages on this one.
Wait for it.
I mean,
wait for it.
His language was particularly inflammatory. I did once say on this podcast that when he's not scoring goals, he can look like a bit of a donkey. I don't think technically he's the greatest player in the world. I don't think he does enough for that Manchester City team when he isn't scoring goals. But he had one big chance, didn't he, really? Missed one in the first half, but tucked away the one in the second. So you can't argue with his numbers, but he's certainly not the finished article. And when you talk about Pep not being concerned about them conceding goals, he will be deep down, and I think he'll be very concerned heading into this Champions League game against Real Madrid, because they're not a team that you can afford to offer up opportunities to. And I don't think it's quite as clear-cut as maybe the odds suggest and maybe people expect them to. I think Real Madrid have got a chance over two legs.
He said to me last night, it won't go down to goal difference. He said that categorically, it won't go down to goal difference. We shall see. It certainly looks very tight at this moment in time. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like to mince his words, as our friend to our right-hand side. But the idea of calling someone who scored 52 goals last season and someone who's got 30 this season a donkey in any category, even if you caveat it with when he isn't scoring or whatever it is you catch it with.
He's got no technique.
Would you like to comment on that as a striker who's played in the Premier League?
What's his job?
Score goals.
To score goals. He's got enough players who've got the technical players around him to do different sides of the game. Haaland's strength is occupying defenders and putting the ball in the back of the net. And he's done it consistently at Manchester City. I think he's missed De Bruyne, though. I have to say that.
Yeah.
I think this season, because De Bruyne's missed so many games this season, I think Haaland would be way ahead of everybody else in the Golden Boot race. The fact that it's competitive this season and Watkins is close to him and a couple of others, Mo Salah being one of them.
Cole Palmer.
Because of his pens. But,
not just his pens.
but
against Man United wasn't the pen, was it?
But he's just his goal scoring record is phenomenal. Yes, some areas of his game might not be to what other centre forwards is, but he's a goal scorer and always will be.
You said something really key there. It was what is his job to do? And one of his jobs actually is to occupy defenders. Just explain to us how important that is for the rest of the team that he does that. Because sometimes he could be doing a brilliant job for the team without touching the ball, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, because his movement will occupy at least one, if not two, defenders. And what that does is it buys space for maybe a Foden, maybe De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva. So rather than Haaland being the main man scoring the goals, the opposition are that worried about him. And that frees up space for somebody else. And that doesn't go in your stats. That doesn't go in all those stats to say, well, he's not had this many touches. Well, he's created that goal by standing out of the way to allow the space for someone like Foden.
We talked about injuries being such a big issue for Manchester United, especially at the back. The fact that John Stones was back from injury this week and Ederson was on the bench as well bodes well for not only their Premier League campaign, but their Champions League campaign. You're heading to Madrid, aren't you, in the morning to go off with Manchester City?
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think it is the tie of the round, because I think you look at Arsenal, Bayern Munich and Bayern away off it at the moment, so I'd be surprised if Arsenal didn't come through that. I actually tipped up Real Madrid at the start of the season to win the Champions League. I think you've got the Bellingham factor, so it's going to be fascinating. You mentioned John Stones. He looked a little bit rusty, didn't he?
Well, he's coming back from injury, and I think he looked rusty in that first moment when Mateta goes past him, but I think though he wasn't up to the speed with the game at that moment in time. And you'll know, as a striker, I think there was also a bit of a strength disparity there as well, because once he's got in front of him, Mateta, he can use his body to just edge him out of the ball.
I think City will want Stones back fully fit, because he's in City's strongest team.
Yeah.
And they've got some big games to come, and obviously Real Madrid, what a game that is. It's almost like a Champions League final in itself.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans might not like me saying that, but that is an incredible game. They're both on the tough side of the draw. From a Liverpool point of view, we wanted either of them to get Atletico Madrid so they could kick them both, so they'd have a couple of knocks going into those Premier League games. But yeah, I mean, good games to be playing in, and it's going to be a big asset for both to get through.
Brighton 0, Arsenal 3. A ruthless performance from Arsenal. I thought they were incredibly professional in this game. They controlled it from the minute it started. They had several chances. Gabriel, Saka, all had great opportunities before they eventually went into the lead. And another goal for Kai Havertz, who's proving a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, I think he's become a really important player for Arsenal. And it was a big goal because, yeah, you're right, they did dominate the game, but it was only 1-0 at that stage. It really took the match away from Brighton. It's not been a vintage season for Brighton. They've had a lot of injury issues themselves, but their home form has been strong.
Hold on, where are they going to finish? They're going to finish in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And you say it's not a vintage season for Brighton. I think it is a vintage season for Brighton.
In comparison to last season.
But last season is the gold standard,
yeah.
Triple plated. This is, you know, the fact is that this team 20 years ago were lucky to be in the Football League.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But the point I was going to make was that even though they're not winning games with the regularity they were last season, they don't get rolled over, particularly at home. So for Arsenal to go there under pressure, because City had already won, and come out such convincing victors, I think tells you where they're at. And we've been speaking about this for a while now, and I mentioned it earlier in the show tonight. City can see goals. Liverpool certainly can see goals. Arsenal don't. You know, Saliba and Gabriel, such a brilliant pairing. Ben White, for all his histrionics of the weekend, which I didn't agree with, I think he's probably up there as with Kyle Walker as one of the best right-backs in the country. The goalkeeper, who I think was a bit nervy at the start of the season. There was an issue created because he replaced Aaron Ramsdale.
You know he's best mates with Aaron Ramsdale.
Have
you heard about this? They're golfing buddies.
I think that could be key. I'm going to stick with City to win it. I tipped up Arsenal at the start of the season, but I think it's going to go to the last day. I think they'll be the two competing on the last day of the season.
Have you stopped texting Aaron now and telling him, I feel sorry for you, mate? Because that was the theme at the beginning of the campaign, wasn't it?
I do still feel sorry for him. Yeah. I think he's been handled badly. Yeah. But he'll get a decent move in the summer.
You think he's going to go in the summer?
Yeah, almost certainly.
Roberto De Zerbi has been linked with many moves, one of them to Liverpool. Would you take him as your manager?
Has he been linked to Liverpool? I thought that was being dismissed.
It had been dismissed, but he was linked before he was dismissed.
Yeah, by who? I'm not sure there's too much talk of it going on in Liverpool.
Okay, so who are you going to take as the new manager?
I must admit, I've been really impressed by him as a coach. I think what he's done at Brighton is quite incredible. He's taking them on to the next level. And I agree with you. I think they're still having a very good season. The fact that they're in the top half, nowhere near relegation trouble. Yes, they've had a lot of injuries themselves, but if they finish in the top 10 again this season, I think that'll be a really good season for Brighton. At the moment with Liverpool, there was a lot of speculation about Xabi Alonso. He had an advantage because he'd been at Liverpool before, so he had a connection with the fans. That's obviously not going to happen this summer. Obviously, the one that's been linked the most is Sporting Lisbon Amorim. He's somebody who I think looks the favourite to take over.
Yeah, last time I looked at the odds, he was the favourite by quite some distance.
The biggest thing Liverpool had to sort out was everything in the background. So the fact that Edwards was sorted out, the fact that we got the sporting director sorted out, all these pieces need to be put in place before Liverpool could get a manager. So when Jurgen announced he was leaving, Liverpool couldn't get a manager sorted because everything else needed to be sorted out in place. Now that's all been sorted, now Liverpool can really go and identify and attack who they want. And Jurgen will leave Liverpool in a really good place. That's one thing you have to say. There's a lot of very, very talented young players. The age of the squad is very good. The hunger will be there to go on and want to achieve. Of course, to win the Premier League is the ultimate. But to be continuously in the Champions League is what Liverpool need to be.
Here's a question for you. If you are the prospective new Liverpool manager, would you rather inherit a side who've just won the Premier League title Or is it an easier job if you inherit one that's just missed out?
Whoever comes in is inheriting a great group, but after Jürgen, it's going to be an emotional send-off, whatever happens at the end of the season for Liverpool. He's had an unbelievable affiliation with the fans. It's a big ask for whoever comes in.
But if you inherit a team who've just won the title and you don't follow it up next season by winning the championship, then straight away, you've taken the club backwards.
Well, if you want to inherit the champions because you're the best team.
And also, you want to inherit someone who's won something because that gives you a winner's mentality going forward, don't you?
See, that's why I thought with this group of players, because there's a lot of new players since Liverpool last won the Premier League, winning the League Cup was massive. Beating that Chelsea team with a lot of new players to experience that trophy win, albeit the League Cup, which is lower end of priorities, was massive for some of them players because it gives them the belief, the hunger, I want more. So whether it's the Europa League, whether they can actually achieve the Premier League, there's that hunger in the squad to say, we want more of that. But that first silverware was always going to be important. It then puts less pressure on the next one because the first one's done.
Yeah, I worked out my stat, by the way, from earlier in the podcast.
Well, it's
only the second time in the calendar year that one of those top three have dropped points when they're not playing each other.
Well done.
There you go.
I'm pleased you finally...
Make sure you get that in, producer
got
Joe.
Your statistic in. During the little break that we had, he said, Joe, you're going to take that out to make me look good? And Joe said, no, you got it wrong. That's the end of the story. We were talking about Arsenal, and that's one of the things that they need to sort of do is get over the line and be winners. Because, yes, they've won the FA Cup. That was a long time ago now. But they haven't put a major trophy on the table in this era where they've been competing for top honours. Jorginho, I think, probably needs a little bit of credit because he's been quite underrated. He came from Chelsea. Everybody sort of raised their eyebrows. And why on earth have they spent the money on him? But actually, I think he showed over the last couple of games just how important he is.
And he's got that winner's mentality. You know, he's been there and got the T-shirt.
He brings that.
He's done it for his country. He's done it at club level with Chelsea as well. So I actually think that's been a shrewd piece of business. And you look at the Arsenal squad now, there aren't too many gaps, are there? I still think the number nine position is a problem. We saw that against Man City. Gabriel Jesus missed a couple of really good opportunities. I think Eddie Nketiah probably will move on in the summer. So I do expect them to bring in a proven number nine. But apart from that, the squad looks good.
Bayern Munich play against Arsenal in midweek in the Champions League quarterfinals. Arteta rested many players during that Luton game, had the opportunity to take players off at the end of that Brighton game as well. Bayern are certainly not full strength. In fact, they've got some key players that are out, including Manuel Neuer, who's not going to be available in goal. So, do you think Arsenal can get through this?
I think they can. I think they made hard work of the last one against Porto. And so you're thinking, well, are they going to make hard work of Bayern Munich? Bayern Munich have got better players, more experienced players. They've underperformed for whatever reason this season. But you know, on the day, they've got players, match winners, the likes of Harry Kane, who can cause Arsenal problems. So I think this is a really tough game for Arsenal. And then I look at the Premier League games in between and think, how will that affect them? Arsenal's strongest 11 is superb. It really is. I think they've been fortunate with injuries as well, by the way. Saliba's not missed a game.
Yeah.
Rice has been on the bench for one game. So they've been fortunate with key players being available, which you need that bit of luck. But can they rotate the players to play Villa at home and Wolves away? Because you can't have your strongest team against Bayern Munich in both them games and in those two Premier League games as well. That's going to be a big challenge for Arsenal, to rotate the squad and the players coming in. They might get away with it against Luton, but will they get away with it away at Wolves and at home to Villa?
Arsenal still got to go to Manchester United too. Can United spoil their party similarly the way they did Liverpool's?
Well, that's another grudge match, not on the same level as United-Liverpool, but obviously in the Premier League era they've been big rivals. Arsenal's record at Old Trafford isn't superb. So yeah, I think that's a dangerous game for Arsenal. If you're looking at the run-in and saying, well, where could they drop points, I think that would be a big red circle around that game.
Title winners then, one word. Who's going to win it?
I'm biased. My one word is Liverpool.
I went Liverpool in September, so I'm going to stick with them. And you are?
I'm going to go City.
Oh, yeah. Is that why you're wearing City blue today? Unbelievable. What a turncoat. That's the title race done. Let's discuss the battle at the bottom as Luton pick up some vital points. It's a couple of contenders for miss of the weekend, and Mo Salah is certainly a contender for that. Luis Diaz, but Chris Wood's miss against Tottenham is unfathomable. I mean, how he's hit the post from there, I still can't quite work out, especially because he's in such goal-scoring form. How often does that play on your mind as a striker when you miss a big chance like that?
It shouldn't. Occasionally it does. But when he gets in that position next time, he won't be thinking, I've just missed one, because it's that instinct. If it's going to be an instinctive finish, then it's okay. If you've got time to think about it and dwell a little bit, then if you're somebody who doesn't let things go, that can affect you. These lads are at the top level for a reason, because they know how to let things go. They don't let it fester and they start thinking, I might miss again. Chris Wood's in great form. He's missed a chance. He's already scored in the game. He'll be thinking he'll score in the next game. That's how the mindset should work.
Okay, let's talk about another striker who did very well, I think, at the weekend, but also has done very well over the course of the season for his team. Luton Town beat Bournemouth by 2-2, and Carlton Morris scored the winner in the 90th minute. It's about time that Rob Edwards got to celebrate a bit of late drama. And boy, did he celebrate. He went darting down the touchline like a better-looking Jose Mourinho.
It did bring back memories that Mourinho ran down the touchline at Old Trafford. But you're right, I think every neutral was delighted for Rob Edwards, because they've had an awful lot of bad luck at the end of games, conceded some real sucker punch goals. So it was about time they got one of their own. And Carlton Morris has been a brilliant focal point for them. I personally think he'll be in the Premier League with or without Luton next season. I think probably one of the three teams that come up would take a very good look at him. But they've given themselves a chance, haven't they, Luton? They've not got the easiest end of season running, but we felt like the defeat at Bournemouth could be a turning point in the wrong direction, maybe exacting revenge in such dramatic fashion could be a turning point for them and will help them go on and get the points they need to survive.
I've really enjoyed watching Luton this year. They've had a go, haven't they? I mean, Burnley and Sheffield United have been really disappointed. I think many would have fancied them to have finished above Luton. But Luton, I mean, yeah, they had the story with the captain as well, with what happened with him, Lockyer. And it's just been a story where, as a neutral, you're thinking, I'd love them to stay up. Because of the football journey that those fans have been on.
They're quite entertaining as well, aren't they? I mean, you say you'd love them to start because of the football journey, but ultimately, it's quite fun to watch. They don't just sit there with 10 men being.
I know, but my point being, it gives hope for teams in League 2, League 1. That might be us. We might be that team. We've been mismanaged in the past, the way Luton have been, nearly gone out of business. In the conference, in the fifth tier of English football, and all of a sudden they've worked hard. Those fans have had some painful times, but now seeing the good times, and they're in the Premier League, and they're competing in the Premier League. Liverpool went to Luton this year and got a 97th minute equalising goal, and I celebrated that. I enjoyed that. Arsenal had to score in the 97th to beat them. They've competed against some of the best teams in the league. It's going to go down to the wire. I would love to see Luton stay in the Premier League this season. I really would. But it's going to be close.
Yeah, look, I think that everybody feels the same, apart from Adrian Durham, who suggested that if Luton go down, it's because they weren't ambitious in January.
Listen, you can't have a pop at a club like Luton for not breaking the bank when you look at their history and how close they were to oblivion. I think they've done it the right way. They spent £17 million this summer. They actually made some quite shrewd additions in the summer. I think Tahith Chong, in particular, for £4 million has been a good signing.
Terrific.
The keeper didn't cost a lot of money from Blackburn Rovers. And I think he's made some
superb big
saves over the course of the season. Teddy Mengi, I know you're a fan of. So their recruitment has been good.
Ross Barkley?
Yeah, oh, exactly. And Andros Townsend as well. You know, they've added some Premier League experience again. I think Barkley has his suitors if they do go down. So I don't think you can have a pop at them in any way, shape or form. What I would say is if they do go down in the Championship, it might be difficult to come straight back up again.
Yeah, I tell you what, if one of these two teams goes down, it's going to be difficult for them to bounce back. Everton 1, Burnley 0. Everton picking up their first win since December the 16th. It's been such a long time. And they really had to hold on as well towards the end of that game. They were playing 10-man Burnley because Dara O'Shea was sent off in the second half. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin finally has got 2 in 2. I mean, we were talking about this last night as Crookie and I was watching it on Match of the Day. And we were saying, you know, everyone was making a big thing as we were driving home last night from the respective games that we've been at about, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, he's got 2 goals in 2 games after 23 games without it. He's had a penalty and someone kicked the ball at him. I mean, it wasn't exactly the best finish you've ever seen in your life. But you need that, don't you, as a
striker? Need that little bit of luck, yeah. It felt as though when he scored the goal against Newcastle, there'd be another one round the corner, and obviously it came very quickly against Burnley. It's a massive win for Everton. Yeah. I mean, I'm around a lot of Liverpool fans, a lot of Everton fans with where I live. I want Everton to stay in the Premier League. I think it'd be great for the City, it'd be great for the Premier League, it'd be great for Liverpool to have that derby game knowing it's going to be there a couple of times a season. It could be close because I don't know what's pending with the points deduction.
We should know that Monday afternoon, is that right?
Well, Monday is the cut-off point by which the decision had to be made, yeah.
So that's a worry hanging over the head. I don't know how, in the Premier League, we're at a stage where this late on, with seven games to go, teams are going to get points deducted.
Crazy.
I think for me, I'd like to see it done at the start of the season. This is what's happening. And if you break the rules, this is what's going to happen next season. To have these points taken off and appeals and when's it going to happen and when's it not, it's not good for all the teams around and the whole product Premier League.
And do you know what? It's not a good look for, as you say, the whole Premier League. It doesn't translate well, because what will happen eventually, if you allow this to continue, is that people won't trust the league table, which is where we got to, I think, before we started getting the definitive on Everton and on Nottingham Forest. I think you're right. I think we have to delay these points deductions to the end of the season and say from next season this is how you're going to start. Now, obviously, the reason they don't do that is because they're concerned about those teams that you're penalising not being in the Premier League the next year. Therefore, they won't get the punishment that maybe necessarily they deserve, and they may well get away with it if they go into the EFL. However, I think you have to take that risk.
Well, yeah, we've seen that with Leicester trying to exploit that loophole, and yeah, it looks like they're going to dodge a points deduction this season.
Well, they need to come up with a coordinated strategy,
course,
right? So yeah, that if it happens in the Premier League, you still get deducted the points in the EFL.
Yeah, maybe the points penalties should be adjudicated under the Football Association auspice as opposed to the Premier League or the EFL. But it's a minefield, isn't it?
Absolutely. But Everton did get 3 points at a crucial time, especially bearing in mind that even by the time you might be watching this podcast, they might have been deducted more. Aston Villa 3, Brentford 3, full-time score from Villa Park. You were at this game. It was bonkers.
It was dull as dishwater for 46 minutes, and then it absolutely came alive. The first half was dreadful, really lacking in quality. Brentford went to just make themselves difficult to beat. Villa found it tough to break them down before Watkins scored a terrific header. They get the second goal and you think, well, that's game over. Credit to Brentford, they came storming back. They actually released the shackles, and they'll be frustrated with the manner of the goal they conceded to allow Villa the equaliser. But I think it's a good point for Brentford. It's 3 points in a row now for them. Okay, there's still 9 games without a victory, but slowly but surely they're putting daylight between them and the bottom three.
I do like the fact that Thomas Frank's new pragmatic approach still yielded 3 goals for the opposition.
I tell you what, he's a manager who's done very well.
Yes,
and
I'm
surprised his name never gets linked to other jobs. I know Brentford fans wouldn't want his name to be linked. I think he's done an absolutely fantastic job. He's been without key players at key moments during the season, which has maybe spiralled them into the relegation battle, but I think they've got enough now that the players are fit, and Mbeumo being one, obviously Tony as well, missed a large chunk of the season. So yeah, I thought it was a decent point for them. Not a great point for Villa. I think they would have expected to win that game, but they'll still have enough because of the points gap they have to Manchester United in sixth to be playing Champions League football next year.
Well, if fifth place is enough for a Champions League place, them and Tottenham are home and host.
Yeah, and I think that probably tells you where the likes of United and Chelsea are at this moment in time. It'll be interesting to see how they react next season, Villa. If they are in the Champions League, what do they do in the summer? Because I think when it comes to PSR, they're pretty close to the line as well. The squad isn't deep enough to be competing in the Premier League and the Champions League, as Newcastle found this season. So I think it could be trickier for Villa next year. But you're right, they're going to finish in the top five. Big call, by the way, for Thomas Frank. He said that Ivan Toney was suffering a bit of a hip issue, but to leave him out and to go back to the Mbeumo Wissa partnership that served them so well at the start of the season, he'll probably say it paid off. They were both on the score sheet.
Yeah, actually, Tony had played quite well in the Manchester United game previously, hadn't he? I know they drew 0-0 with Brighton in midweek, but was a real handful in that game at the GTEC Community Stadium. Villa let a 2-goal lead slip. Their defending wasn't particularly good. My old mate Pau Torres had a torrid game. I was sitting there watching Match of the Day last night. Crookie was on his phone. I was saying, look at him. Look what he's doing. He's not following the ball. He just let his man go.
And he was sipping on his hot milk, and he was pointing out all the errors that Pau Torres has made. I was trying to enjoy a peaceful whiskey at the time.
Yes, he was downing a whole gullet of whiskey, and I was being sensible, wasn't I? Because I knew we had a big show to do today. And a big show it certainly was on the Sunday session, and really enjoyed it, and really enjoyed all the games that we watched this week. And we've got a big week of live football on Talk Sport, because Real Madrid against Manchester City is live with Crook and I on Tuesday night, Talk Sport 2. At the same time, Arsenal against Bayern Munich is on Talk Sport. On Thursday night, both the games involving Liverpool and West Ham are available for you as well. And at the weekend, we've got more live football for the Premier League. Of course, we'll promote all that and preview all that on the Thursday podcast as well. Neil Mellor, thank you very much for joining us at Hotel Football, running the gauntlet of the Man United fans to come over here.
Yeah, sorry I was a little bit deflated. Would have been much happier if we'd have won it today.
It's okay. That's football. It wasn't a missed opportunity for you, unlike Liverpool. You're all right. How are you going to enjoy yourself tonight?
I've got to make the long trek home now, ready for that flight in the morning, and I won't see you for a while now, will I? I'm not back on the podcast for a couple of weeks.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Augusta.
On a jolly?
Well,
yes, okay.
Take it easy tonight, celebrating that draw, all right?
Yeah, I've seen his itinerary. He might not be back for a couple of weeks. Thanks very much for joining us, Hotel Football. Make sure you leave a comment in the comments section, and we'll see you very soon.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.